welcome to Victory Church on the Rock, Grand Prairie. Joining us with today's message is Pastor Charlotte Quist.
This morning, we're going to press into the sounds of the season, part two, the risen Lord. We're going to tie into what it is that we hear or what we're supposed to hear or how when we lean into what we hear, it changes everything. And so if you'll get your Bibles out, we're going to just get into the word together. So Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the recording of the Gospels. I thank you, Lord, for those who were there firsthand, who tell us of the story through their eyes. But God, I thank you that our hearts tell us the story. Even today, Holy Spirit, that you unpack it for us. And Lord, I pray that there would be revelation today like never before, that this would be the beginning of a new season for all of us. A fresh start, fresh eyes, fresh experience. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're gonna dig into the word today. Thank you, worship team. That was awesome. So good. Just a few little clapping hands here, but we know you're clapping at home. So thank you to the worship team. And man, these are people who love God. And we miss having our whole team here. Normally on Easter Sunday, we would have our choir. We would have the stage packed full. But we are not without worshipers. We are just disseminated into the populous. There is worshipers all over the city, all over the district, all over the province, all over the nation. The worshipers are arising in your corners. And so we just celebrate together, and we're grateful for those who are able to be here and do this. And not only do they sound good, they look good too, huh? Everybody all dressed up this morning, looking fine, celebrating the King of Glory today. This is awesome. And so today we're going to get into this next part of the sound of the season and the sound of the resurrection. And we want to lean into that a little bit and just find out what God's got to say. We have the recording in multiple levels of the Gospels, but we're going to go from Matthew today and dig that out. So if you've got your Bibles handy, you can go to Matthew and just be prepared for that. But today, as we're talking about the celebration, We have been walking through the journey from the perspective of every piece. We've been talking about the triumphal entry. We've been talking about all the elements along the way, the things that happened, the Passover, the denial of Peter, the Last Supper, what was involved in there, the suffering, the sounds that went on along the way. And on purpose this year, we have wanted to just pause and experience all those things, because when you know the backstory, you understand the celebration. And so even in our current situation where people are, you know, starting to realize that maybe there's not going to be high school graduations this year, there's weddings are not going to look like they were supposed to look like, that funerals are difficult, that the things that are normally big celebrations aren't what they normally would be. And when you understand the backstory of some people, it helps you empathize and it helps you lay hold of how somebody's feeling in today's moment. And so, for instance, if somebody, you know, was learning challenged or whatever, and this was the year they were going to graduate, or maybe they're the first person in their family to go to university and this was going to be the year for their convocation, these big things. And when you know the backstory, you can embrace the celebration differently. So sometimes when we just jump to the end, you know, as fun as it is to get to dessert first, the meal is worth it to get to the dessert. Now, that being said, I'm also a fan of jumping to the ice cream first at times, but it's important that we don't just do that all the time. And so even as we're looking at this Easter story, it is important that we understand the resurrection through the process that Jesus had to go through to get there, through the sounds that were heard and through the sounds of our own hearts. Philippians 3:10. Again, we talked about this last week, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And so that passage is talking about the whole journey. It's saying that I might know him, and then that I might know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So today we're going to kind of talk about the two parts that are the beginning and the end, knowing the power of his resurrection by being conformed to his death. There's a tie together. There's a something that's supposed to happen where we don't just celebrate, yay, Jesus rose from the grave, but what does it mean to me? What was the purpose? Why should that matter to me? Most people understand that there is a correlation between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, and whether people have a faith background or not, there's usually a little bit of an understanding that this is the process. But the idea of applying it to my life, that it's not just a story, but it is my reality. This is what I'm supposed to be stepping into. I was thinking about, some of the greatest movies of all time and the stories that have been told are people that you don't know anything about, you know, that if on the surface you didn't know anything about them. For instance, if you just heard the name Eric Liddell, he was an Olympic runner, and he won a gold medal in the Olympics. There's really no celebration about that until you realize that this is the guy from Chariots of Fire, the movie, the book, the story behind his life, who he was called into ministry, and he felt the call of God to serve. But for a season, he said he felt the pleasure of God when he would run. And so when he was running, he'd be out there and he was interacting with God, and God was moving upon his life. And his particular race was a 100-meter race. It was that super fast sprint, and that was his race. And so he went to the Olympics because he was fast enough to run that race. But then he found out that race was being run on Sundays, and so he chose instead to run the 400-meter, which is infinitely more difficult. It takes different training, but because he wanted to honor God, he was able to shift gears. God honored him. God blessed him. And he had an international platform from which to honor the Lord. So suddenly his gold medal makes a ton of sense. That it's worth celebrating, because this is somebody who put his own life on the line before the Lord, and he chose to honor the Lord first. When we know the story, we celebrate the reward. Somebody else kind of like that is the story of Louis Zamperini, who's the guy from Unbroken. If you've seen that movie, this is like good tips for movie watching if you're going to be home for a bit. But Unbroken is the story of a Christian evangelist who was also an Olympian, who was also a runner. He was a 5K distance runner who, during World War II, I believe it was, he was, entered into the military. He was in a plane crash. He ended up being stranded in a lifeboat for 47 days. And when he was finally rescued, he was taken to a Japanese prisoner of war camp and survived on his faith. He was taunted because he was an athlete, because he was strong. And he rose up and his faith came out. His survival, a lot of people survived the war, but his survival, the story of his life, when you understand the backstory of his life, it helps you celebrate his survival. Even things like, for instance, we have people who right now do all sorts of things just to break world records. And so somebody can be, whatever. Some of the stuff that people do to break world records is insane to me. But like there was an older gentleman who just did like 8 hours planking, which like planking, right? Why? Just to break the world record. It's crazy, right? I don't know why he did it, but there are people who have done big things, like Terry Fox. Not everybody knows the story of Terry Fox, except we still have Terry Fox runs and collecting. And here's this young man who, the story is, we could just say, here's a guy who was raising money for cancer, and he tried to run across Canada, and he didn't quite make it, but he was trying to raise money for cancer research. But the story is, this young man actually had lost a leg. He'd had a leg amputated because of cancer. And even with a prosthetic leg, he just felt like people were not aware of what was going on. And he wanted to raise awareness, and he wanted to raise funding to help the researchers who were working on a cure. And so he set out to race, and he wanted to run across Canada. He actually went 5,373 kilometers before he had to stop. And the reason he had to stop was because the cancer spread to his lungs and it killed him shortly after. But he actually would run the equivalent of a marathon, the length of a marathon, every single day that he ran. the story behind it, you know, is that his heart was so passionate about what he felt he was called to do, what his life was about, that it's more than here's a guy who tried to run across the nation and didn't quite make it. The reality is that since he began, the foundation keeps going. $750 million have been raised to go towards research and funding and helping people, which is a huge thing. But the celebration matters because the cost that he put in there. When we look at what Jesus did, when we understand the cost of what he paid, what the journey was like, what the ingredients are, Easter Sunday makes sense. Resurrection Day makes sense. And we want to apply it. We want to embrace it. We want to engage it. We want to be part of it. And so today we're going to pick out particularly Matthew's gospel on the resurrection. It's almost identical to Mark's gospel, which is cool. So that's why we're doing this. We also started last week with Matthew. So Matthew 28 is the passage that we're going to dig into and just see what happened. This is eyewitness testimony. This is the people who were engaged in the moment, and we're going to learn from them. We're going to learn what God wants us to understand about the story. So if you're with me from wherever, get your Bibles out. Notebooks, pens, underline, get ready for it. It's going to be good. Matthew 28. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began before dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And so go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples the word." And so here is this like interesting story. If you were not a person of faith, and you're just like looking at this on the surface, it would be, is this even possible? Is it even possible that this happened? But it did. It's recorded in multiple accounts. This is the real story. And so we're talking about the mind-blowing concept of the God of the universe coming to earth, paying a price, going into to hell and taking back the keys of life and death, rising to life again, entering into the heavenly realm, an angel coming and manifesting, people actually visually see and hear. Jesus also, if we look in the other translations, Jesus actually showing up. He's not fully ascended yet, so he can't stay, but he's there and people see him and hear his voice. And there's this encounter, the earth shakes, the stone was rolled away. You can't miss the testimony. You can't miss the eyewitness account. See, if we were doing a court situation where we're looking to defend or prove something, we would look for eyewitness testimony. Eyewitness testimony stands, and especially when it's corroborated by more than one. And so what we've got here is eyewitness testimony of what happened. So whether it seems crazy or not, it's real. And in this story, we find the reality of what it is we should take from it. And so today, I'm going to pick out 4 points that I see, and it's because we're leaning into the sounds of the season. What are the sounds that are heard here? And what the sounds are in this version, is what the angel said. What the angel told them, he was bringing a message from heaven and he was telling them how to respond. And so that provides for us keys. And so we're going to look at 4 keys to knowing the power of the resurrection. 4 keys that are in here. If we'll listen for the sound and not just get the overview of the situation, but we listen for the sounds that are there. What are the words that are declared? And so if we read just down again, starting at verse 3, here's the angel that comes down. His countenance was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." And so if we look at this, we're looking for the keys of how to apply this. The first one is, number one, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And so what this means is, you know, here we see this, the guards who were there actually are so afraid that they fall to the ground as though dead. We're not sure exactly what happened to them. They evidently passed out at the very least, but something shook them and they fell down. They were so afraid they fell down as though they were dead. But the angel says to the women who were there, he's like, "Do not be afraid. You're here seeking him." Here's the sound that we need to understand is, because of the resurrection, because of the death of Christ, because of the resurrection, we do not need to be afraid. In this season that we're in, this is a big deal because fear wants your attention so badly. Fear wants to own us. Fear is navigating people groups right now. Fear is navigating decisions. Fear is navigating how people are handling life and how they're handling their families and what they're doing. And fear is actually beginning to cause people physical problems where there's a breakdown of systems on the inside, that the mental health is challenged because fear is just active. Fear is the thing that's on the sound waves of our public services right now. What's being put out there, it's fear. I'm telling you, Resurrection Day today, the first key is do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Fear is actually a choice. I know it's a feeling, it's a response. There's a feeling of fear, like you're being chased by a bear. Then you should probably be a little afraid. You know, things like that. There's stuff with claws and teeth are involved. Be a little afraid. But that's just for your own safety's sake. That's to get out of there. But in life, we do not need to be afraid. But here's the reality. Fear exists because it's a spiritual presence. Fear, the word tells us that there is a spirit of fear. The spirit of fear has an opening where sin is. And so we want to make sure that we're not partnering with the wrong thing. But here's the reality of the word. And we're going to walk through some backstory here. We sang this morning the sounds of the season, because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Did we mean it? When we sang it, did we mean it? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. Because I know there's something that has happened in my understanding of Jesus and his death and resurrection that means that fear actually doesn't get to live with me anymore. Because he lives, fear is gone. And so we need to choose that. But fear had access. And so here's the reality of it. Romans 6:23. Here's where fear engages a situation. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's a reality about fear that psychologists agree to, that basically the root of all fear is the fear of death. Underneath all fear, all phobias, there is a core root in a fear of death. There's something that is just a little bit twisted up on the inside that we fear death. What is it that we see rampant around us right now is this concept of, what if I get this virus and I die? What if somebody I know or love gets this virus and they die? What happens if this spreads across the nation and people just begin to start dying? Do you know, as sad as that would be in the natural realm, if we know Christ, That's not a scary concept. We have a hope that goes beyond the grave. And so what that means is that we have this internal understanding. In fact, the word tells us that that fear is there because it's a fear of torment. God has not given us a spirit of fear because fear has to do with torment. It's talking about the concept that all of mankind, whether they believe in God or not, whether we believe in God or not, internally, we have a sense of the fear of God. We have a sense of awe of God. We have a sense of knowing that on the other side of whatever this reality is, we need to know that there's an answer. We need to know what happens when we die. And there's a sense on the inside that we're not right. We're not okay. We need to make it right. And so some people will spend their lives trying to earn their way through. I'm a good person. I do good stuff. I try and do more good than harm. I try and leave a positive mark on society. That's not enough. The wages of sin is death. And so actually on the inside of us, we have a sense that we as sinful fallen men and women deserve death. But Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And therefore, 1 Corinthians 15, if we look at verse 55 to 58, this is one of my favorite verses here. It says then, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? This is from the prophet Hosea prophesied at first. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is actually a penalty of sin. But this is telling us, death, you have no sting. You have no victory over me. You don't get to tell me how to feel. Death, you don't get to tell me how to feel. You don't get to tell me how to live my life. You don't get to tell me how to react to COVID. You don't get to tell me how to do what I do. I am living in the victory. Praise be to God who gives me the victory through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Yeah, I did have sin. Yes, I did have a penalty that was owed. The wages of sin is death, but God demonstrated his love towards me in that when I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. That's why I needed to pay attention on Good Friday, because he died for me. He paid for that sin. And if I believe that, then death. Ha! Death. Where's your sting? You don't get to rule my life. That's the first sound of this day. Death, no fear here. No fear here. Number two, goes on in the story, and it says, do not be afraid in verse 5, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And this is the key. I mean, this seems like obvious. We're on Resurrection Sunday. Of course, we're celebrating that he is risen, but we actually have to decide whether or not we're going to engage that or not, because there's a shift that happens. We know that according to the word, there's an official statement of victory that Jesus made. The rising from the dead was an official statement. I love that God actually showed off a little bit, that the earth quaked, that the stone rolled, that the angels showed up, that the soldiers fell over like they were dead. They were so afraid. I love that God just kind of did a little, you know, he like showed a little show of strength there, but it was the final declaration that something had happened. And so we have to decide what we're going to do with it. We sang this morning, sounds of the season, people. We sang this morning, this is amazing grace. We sang, who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is stronger? And so much, whatever it is, so much, his love is something. So much greater, so much stronger. Looking at the worship team, we can't quote the words without the melody. But here's the reality. We sang that song this morning. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? See, Resurrection Sunday proves that Jesus broke the power. In fact, Colossians 2, 14 and 15, it tells us what Jesus actually did. And this matters. We have to hang on to this. It says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. If you got your Bible out, underline that. Jesus disarmed principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. In fact, Jesus made a show of this. He made sure that there was no question marks on the enemy's side, that they were defeated, that he had conquered, that he had won once and for all. It was done. It was handled. He has wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. This is like it says in Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. This is the reality of it. Am I going to choose to believe it? See, the angel said to them, he's like, don't be afraid. Sin's been handled. He said he is risen. In fact, there's been a shift in rulership. There's a new boss in town. There's a new king. There's a new shift for you to step into. And here's the shift. Here's the movement. We see them engage it. And then he goes on, and here's where it really becomes our part on this. It says then, verse 5 again, the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Now, I want to just park on that one for a little bit. The first key, don't be afraid. The second key is he is risen. We embrace this. We decide, I'm not going to be afraid, and I'm going to live out of the fact that he is risen. And number three, come and see. In fact, he invites them. He's like, come and see for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. I'm going to tell you he's not here. I'm going to tell you that he's risen, but you come and see. Easter only works if we personally receive it. The fact that Jesus died to pay the price for all sin, for all of mankind, that is just an opportunity. It's not a given. We did not all suddenly become the sons and daughters of God. We are made by him, but we become his children when we say yes to him. So the opportunity is there for everybody. But number three, we have to come and see. We have to enter into the new reality. Some of us, now let me just get real here. Some of us have been saved for maybe 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and we still struggle with feeling guilty, with feeling shame, with feeling defeated all the time. I believe that today, if we'll pick up this key and turn it in the door of our lives, there will be a shift. We have to come in and see. In other words, we enter the situation. We engage the situation. Romans 8, 10 to 11 goes a little bit further with this. It says, and if Christ is in you, which is the whole point of the cross. It's the whole point of salvation. It's the whole point of us saying yes to Jesus. If you have prayed a prayer like we prayed earlier in the service today, at some point in your life, you've given your life to Christ, then he comes and he dwells in us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So it says, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. In other words, this physical body is going to die. That's a given. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. Let's just pause for a minute. Jesus rose from the dead. The power of the Spirit of God entered his dead, beaten, flogged, crucified body, and rose him to life, brought about the glorious renewal of our King who restored into the new life, the new reality. That same spirit, like the Spirit of God that shook the earth. There was an earthquake. That the Spirit of God that released angels to move stones and the fear of God, the awe of God fell and people fell to the earth. As the Spirit of God lives in you, dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I might look like a normal person on the outside, depending on your viewpoint, but I might look like a normal person. I carry around in me the Spirit of the living God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me and gives life to this body. Bring it on, COVID. Seriously, we have no fear of death when we are in Christ. We are not intimidated by the lies and the taunting of the enemy. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. Do you honestly think that Jesus would be huddling in panic right now, or would he be doing what we've experienced here in the Easter story, where behind the scenes, something big's going on? See, what was Silent Saturday actually was this very, what was happening on Saturday? Silent Saturday, right? Having wiped out the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. What? It wasn't silent down there. It wasn't silent when Jesus was going and taking back the keys of life and death. It wasn't silent when Jesus was disarming the enemy. It wasn't silent when he was parading them through the streets of hell as a conquered foe. It wasn't silent when he was triumphant. It was silent to ours, but behind the scenes, war was happening. Victory was happening. I'm telling you right now, we might be sitting in our houses and there's a silence on the outside, but there's a fight coming up on the inside. There's a victory being restored on the inside. There is life being declared on the inside. We are going to come out of this thing stronger than ever if we embrace what Jesus paid for, if we understand that we need to come and see what he has done. If we are his, the Spirit of God lives in me. Romans 8:19 says the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. In fact, right now, as the earth is groaning under the weight of not only an illness that it can't control, have you noticed people haven't got an answer right now? There is no more helpless feeling than feeling out of control and watching suffering and not being able to do anything about it. But the master of the universe offers life and life abundantly. We are in this moment where not only is this disease traveling around, but there's an undercurrent of fear about what happens if the forest fires start up again. What happens if there's earthquakes? What happens if there's actual natural disasters and we're all isolated in these places and we can't get help? What the earth is groaning for the people of God to stand up and say whose we are, who we serve, who we believe, who we love, that we actually believe in the cross and the resurrection, that we actually believe he's risen. Because if I believe he's risen, then I believe he lives in me. And I believe that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in me. It's giving life to my body. I'm not afraid. I can come and minister to you. I can come and minister hope. I can minister life. I can serve. I can give. When the panic people of the world are running the other direction, the church should be running in. This is our opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus. This is who God's called us to be. Romans 8:14 to 17. You still with me, church?
With you.
Woo! All right. Romans 8:14 to 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Wow. So not only do we have a relationship with God somehow, some way where we, the lowly humans of the earth, come before the big great God and somehow we grovel at his feet and we hope for his favor. No, he's given us the spirit of adoption. He doesn't invite us into his kingdom just to be subjects. He brings us in as families, as sons and daughters of God. He says that we get to call him Father, Papa, Abba. We get to run into his arms and we get to have that experience with him. It goes on and it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if we indeed suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. If we indeed suffer with him, what does that mean? This is why we paused on Good Friday, because we lay down our lives and we pick up his. Jesus laid down his life. He suffered and died for us, but we don't get to have a little add-on Jesus. He's not the jam on our life. He's not the syrup on the top of our pancakes of life. He is the life that we live. He becomes the new reality. The Spirit of God lives in me, and it becomes a new reality, a new normal, a new way of being, and I have access. We talked about Friday night, the covenant of the bread, and the bread was symbolic in all ancient covenants. The sharing of the meal, the bread was symbolic of the substance of my life. It was that this is what I have for wealth. This is what I have for resources. This is what I have for property. And everything I have is yours to take advantage of. It is all at your disposal. We have become joint heirs with Christ. Whatever he has, we have access to. I'm telling you, there is no room for fear in that. There is no room for lack in that. There is no room for despair in that. There is no room for panic in that. Jesus was never panicked. You never read about Jesus in the fetal position, moaning and groaning. The only time we ever see him in a level of despair, and it wasn't even despair, it was internal anguish, was when he was about to pay the price so that we could have this. Let's make it worth it. It's available, but we actually have to lay hold of it. We actually have to understand, I am joint heirs with Jesus. Everything that he has, I can have too. Everything that he made available is there for the taking. Colossians 3:1-3. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth, for you died already. You died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It means that your life is only, you're only going to be able to lay hold of the resurrection. You're only going to be able to lay hold of what was paid for here if you give up your own life. Lay it down. Your real life, your new life in Jesus, it's hidden in him. It says specifically, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. What does that mean? It means in this season where there is a global, I would say, greater than the global pandemic of COVID-19 is the global pandemic of fear. It is crushing. But the word tells us that in the last days, people's hearts will fail them for fear, that there is a spirit of fear that will be launched. And so in this moment, we get to choose whether I'm going to keep my eyes on this stuff or I'm going to set my eyes on things above and get God's perspective on it. And from that place, I am victorious. I know from that place that there is no fear. I know from that place that my eternity is secure. I know from that place that while I'm here on this earth, his spirit that lives in me quickens this body. It gives me the strength I need, the life I need, the energy I need, the health I need. I know that while I'm on this earth, that by his stripes, I've been healed. And so I'm not super worried about it. I know that while I'm on this earth, everything of heaven is at my disposal. My papa owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the wealth of the earth. And therefore, there is no lack. I'm not super concerned about how I'm going to feed my kids because he's going to feed me because I'm his kid. This is the reality of the resurrection, is that I've got to come in and see it and apply it and live it and live like I actually believe what I was singing about today. We sang this morning, I've got resurrection power living on the inside. And we sang this. Did you mean it? I'm no longer bound by sin and darkness. I'm living in the light of your goodness. I am no longer bound. I was bound. You were bound. We were bound. But if I'm going to receive this, if I'm going to come in and see the risen Lord, that I'm no longer bound by sin and darkness. I am living in the light of his goodness. There is a hope that rises up and bubbles on the inside of this. 2 Peter 1:3-4. You ready for one more? This is so good. Whew. Okay, it says, 2 Peter 1:3-4. It says, his divine power has given us all things. All things. I'm going to start again. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these or through these, you may be partakers of the divine nature. So the promises of God, as we understand, as we have a knowledge of him, through the knowledge of him who called us, by knowing him, by actually engaging him, by pressing in to understand him, to see him, come and see. By knowing him, we begin to become aware of the exceedingly great and precious promises of God, things like he's given us all things for life and godliness, things like he has defeated and disarmed the enemy, things like we are no longer bound by fear. We become aware of those promises and suddenly we become partakers of the divine nature. We get to find out who God really is. And as we partake of him, we end up becoming like him. We begin to act like him. We think like him. We begin to look like our dad. We begin to sound like our dad. We begin to function like our dad. We do not sit there like the rest of the world right now, dithering about, and oh my goodness, oh my, like I'm going to click on, I'm going to find out how many people died today. Oh my goodness, how many people died? Okay, well, there's not that many in my region, so I think I'm going to be okay. I hope people find, I need to get a mask. Stop it. I am going to find out who he is. And when I lean into that and I understand it, I find out that there are promises that he's given me to contain, that contain everything for life and godliness. And through those promises, as I begin to lay hold of them, I experience the divine nature of God. And in fact, I partake of that divine nature and I begin to look like him, sound like him. I'm not panicked. I live in the victory of Jesus Christ. Basically, Jesus said to us when he was giving the bread, when he was offering, he was saying, everything I have is at your disposal. You are my co-heir. Our lives, hear me on this, our lives should change in the revelation and application of the resurrection. Our lives should be different because we come and see. We should look, sound, feel, act different. Possibly, if there's been a fear gate open, we need to reconnect with the sounds of the season. So let's go back into Matthew 28. Are you still with me, church? Whew. Okay. It says, but the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Number two. And he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And now, number four. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So number one, we want to make sure that we understand we do not be afraid. Number two, we recognize he is risen. Whether we embrace it or not, it's like that thing where if a tree falls in the forest and nobody sees it, did it make a sound? If Jesus rose from the grave, whether we choose to acknowledge it or not, it still happened. It still changed reality. It is there for us to embrace. Number three, we come and see it then. We engage it. And number four, it's not meant to be an internal thing. Go and tell. Go and tell. What we have received freely, you've received freely give. The angel sends the women out. He's like, okay, now that you've had this revelation, you need to go and tell the others. You need to get out there and tell somebody. I'm telling you, this is a big deal because sometimes we struggle with like, I don't know if I should tell people about Jesus. Do you not think right now all of humanity is longing to be fear-free? That we all want to know what happens when we die. We all want to know what's on the other side. We all want to know what the panic we feel on the inside is. We all want to know, is God real? We all want to know, is there a way to have peace? We all want to know, is there an answer to this thing? We all want to know what happens 100 years from now. Is the world actually ending? We all want to know. This is the opportunity to send the good news, to go out, to share it. It says it specifically. In fact, we sang our last song, Oh Praise the Name. of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. Psalms tells us that one generation shall praise your works to another. One generation actually is meant, we are meant to declare the praises of God from one person to another. And as we praise him, this is not about, you know, the judgment message. It's about the offer of the cross, the offer of the resurrection, the offer of peace with God, life on the inside, hope eternal. This is the praises of God bring about a response in people. The word tells us in Psalms that when I declared the good things you'd done to me, many heard it and rejoiced. Many heard it and came to know God. That's the opportunity that we have right now. The reason we go through the process is because it's really sad when Christians don't actually know the victory of the cross, the victory of the empty tomb. We have not come and seen, we have not engaged the freedom, but we tend to from our own lack, try and push Jesus at people. That's wrong. We first apply it. We first apply it and live in the resurrection. And then from that place, we begin to tell the testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our testimony comes out. We begin to share the goodness of God. We speak the goodness of God. We celebrate the goodness of God. Romans 10, 13 and 14. It says, "For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord. Oh, I don't know if that person would ever want to hear from God or, you know, hear about God. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Only God knows who the whosoever is. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in them of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's not about me preaching or a pastor in a church. It is about you and me, all of us. It's impossible to believe in the gift you've never heard about if the lips of those who know never speak it. And so this morning, I believe this is the transformation. The world is longing. The earth is longing for the sons and daughters of God, the children of God, to rise up and lay claim to the resurrection. This Easter Sunday, I believe in the silence of the season, in the quiet of the being in your homes, being separated from, you know, you don't have 19 meetings a week to go to. You don't have places to run to and busyness. Pause and see if we've applied the resurrection. Have we actually recognized that we have resurrection power living on the inside, and it should be changing my reality. It should be altering how I do life.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Victory Church Grand Prairie. You can stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by using @VictoryChurchGP. If you have any questions, would like to access our online resources, or would like to sow into this ministry, you can visit us at www.victorygp.com. You can also text to give. Just text 587-207-4387 and follow the prompting. Thanks again for joining us at Victory GP. Reach, teach, mobilize.